are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality. Question Reality. With Priscilla Leona. Priscilla Leona. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 o'clock to 5:50 Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning into our show, we will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their career, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of our shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, look for our graphic, Question Reality, and click the link. And this will take you directly to our archive page. And the archive page, that is where you can view the list of our past guests. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes. Under the podcast section, and we're also on Stitcher.com, S-T-I-C-T-C-H-E-R.com. Just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there you go. We'll find us from 2008 till today. Now, you have to go to another website, which is our official Question Reality website, if you want to find out about our future guests. For the rest of the year, all of our guests, where they're booked, and if there are any available dates left, go to questionrealityradioshow.com. And you would go there if you know someone that works professionally in the entertainment industry, and you'd love for them to come on their show and promote what they do and give some advice to our audience. We'd love to have them. Again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com. So there you go. Now, if you enjoy listening to our show, which I know you do, and you believe in our goal, which is always to inspire and motivate and educate people on what it takes to pursue a successful career in the entertainment industry, then I would ask that you please consider helping to support our efforts by going to our website, again, questionrealityradioshow.com, and clicking on our Amazon.com link when you want to order any of your Amazon products. This link, you click on it. I don't know what the heck happens, but behind the scenes, it goes right to Amazon, and then it kind of logs that you were there and what you got, and then we get a percentage of that. And this will really help us so much with our ongoing financial efforts to keep the show on the air and to cut down on the advertisers that we have to have on to help with the show. It's a very expensive process, you know, radio. So we thank you so much for that. Now, as always, we have a fantastic guest on today. My goodness gracious, I was so happy that we were going to have him on the air. I heard his song, Michael Stover, as you know, with MTS Management. He asked me if I would be interested in having him on the show. So I listened to his music. And I said, oh my gosh, he's so good. I have to have him. His name is Marshall Dane. He is a country music singer and songwriter. And I want you to go to his website right now and check it out. It's Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, Dane, D-A-N-E.com. And he's also on Facebook under Marshall Dane Music. And he's on Twitter under Marshall Dane. So go there now, check it out, like his Facebook page, follow him on Twitter, all that stuff. Now, let me tell you what he's going to be helping us with today. We're going to be asking him questions like, what is your biggest piece of advice to aspiring singers who dream of moving to Nashville? And then we're going to find out, do you really need to move to Nashville to be noticed by the important record labels? A lot of artists today, my goodness, they can make a whole CD right on their computer out of their home. And a lot of the independent labels take notice of that. So we're going to find out his opinion on that. And then we're also going to find out what are some things that you need to know if you decide to pursue a career in the country music business. Now, very exciting, we're going to play Marshall's latest rollicking new single, which is titled Alcohol Abuse. Love it. And we're going to play this around 5:30. And until then, we're going to find out a little bit about Marshall, and we are going to delve into who he is, what is he doing, what is making his life so exciting on the country circuit. Now, Marshall Dane, he has, just a little bit about him, he has this, from what I've been told, this infectious blend of country and rock, and he is blazing the trail in 2014. I've been told that this is the year of the Dane. I think they're going to have to add that to Chinese astrology, the year of the Dane, my goodness. And his music is fueled by rock and roll and infected with a watermelon-sized helping of hope and love and salvation. And Marshall, I'm told by Michael, is the kind of guy that you want to have on your side when the going gets tough. So he's apparently a very reliable guy, very, very thoughtful, kind, generous. So we want to support him in our efforts with his music. Now, his album is One of These Days, and it launched in May of 2013, and he was nominated at the CMA Awards in several categories, including Male Artist and for Album of the Year, featuring the single and title track, One of These Days. Now, Marshall Dane's latest album puts life back in the swing of things, and it's driven by this swirling blast of fabulous melodies, and it gives you a country rush right from the get-go. So be sure to check out Marshall's rollicking new single, thank you, a couple cocktails too many today, Alcohol Abuse, which was released in February of 2014 worldwide. And again, this song is hot. I listened to it again today. I think this is my fourth time listening to it. And it is a song that is really going to get those little toes tapping. Little cocktail, little toe tapping. What's more than that, especially on a Sunday? So you're going to hear that song at 5:30. So let's bring him on. My God, without further ado, welcome to the show, Marshall. Hello? Well, Marshall? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Marshall?
We keep dancing. I'm sorry. It's too beautiful outside, I think. I'm not moving at all an inch. It's just maybe it's too clear. Usually it's bad weather that makes this happen.
Wow, I don't know what's happening. Well, you know, it's when you're going over the internet, you never know. A bird could be tied up in the wires. You don't know what's going on. But this usually happens when you do remote interviews, and I think most people are used to it. And I apologize. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully we can get through the rest of the interview. So as I was saying, welcome. I don't even know where we left off. There was like, hi, Marshall, and then there was a big gap. So I don't know what happened. I thought the cats may have just taken all your breath and you were laying dead on the floor. My God.
You know, it could have been that. Fortunately, it's not. And the last thing I think I recall you saying was that you were going to ask me some questions.
Yes! Oh, my God! Well, I went through your whole bio.
Beautiful.
We went through. Everybody knows everything about you, and we're about to ask you. Well, first, I want to get into talking about some personal questions. I want to know, I like to ask this question because people like to know how you got started and where you are today. So when Marshall Dane was a little baby boy, a cute little bundle of joy, as you got older, what did you want to do, or what did you see yourself doing as a career? You know, when we're little, we want to be a cowboy, an Indian. I wanted to be Wonder Woman. What did you see yourself wanting to do as a child?
Well, I think as a kid, I think I said the same thing, although I didn't say Wonder Woman. I said cowboy and maybe astronaut and then a firefighter, I'm sure.
No, Wonder Woman, what's wrong with you?
You know, I don't know. I probably should have pursued those options.
You sometimes you need to get extra money when the gigs aren't coming in. You know, you need
right. And cowboy would be a good paying job,
that's
I'm sure.
That's right. You know, you sometimes got to put on some lipstick and lashes and get some side money to buy a new guitar, buy some new picks. You never know. Now, what instrument, may I ask, do you play an instrument as well, or?
Yeah, I can tinker around on the piano enough to write songs and sway back and forth and feel it. I really enjoy the piano, but my main instrument would be guitar. And by that, I'm more of a tree chopper than a needlepoint, you know, fine-tuned player. Some of those guys that do all those, you know, fast guitar licks, I like to hire guys like that to play with me because my hands just do not work that way. But guitar is definitely my most comfortable instrument. I've been sitting with an acoustic guitar for my whole life.
Wow. So you always felt, even as a child, that you were going to do something in music, something. I mean, did your family see that, and were they supportive and encouraged you? And
I didn't know that I was actually going to, you know, pursue music as a source of, you know, employment / you know, direction in life outside of high school until, I mean, I got my first gig at 15 years old. I was playing in this little cafe, and I mean, I used to go there after church just to eat cheesecake and hot chocolate. And, you know, then I found out I played music, so they offered me this little spot for $35 and a piece of that cheesecake. I took advantage of that.
That's actually more than a lot of musicians get today, believe it or not. I don't
straight
know.
Straight up, it's not that bad.
Really good. You were getting paid well for 15. So I'm telling you, the way that these retailers, and I'm going to just say it right up, the way that these restaurants and these little coffee shops, I mean, they don't even want you to give you a cup of coffee. You're playing for free, and then they want you to pay half price for your darn coffee. So it's terrible.
Yeah, well, I was 15, and I was just a little kid. I didn't care at the time. But looking back now, I was undercutting some other poor musician that was trying to make $100 a night.
Isn't that something? Well, what musical artist from all genres influenced you growing up, and why?
Well, I'd say some of the earliest memories I've got are sitting at my grandma's record player, and I would just spend a lot of time over there. I mean, she'd pick us up from school, and we'd be there for a few hours before heading back home. And I would find my pleasure in sitting there at the record player, putting in. She had John Denver records, like a couple of them, and she had this one record by Kenny Rogers. It was called Kenny Rogers' 20 Greatest Hits. And I was just a little kid spinning that record over and over again, falling into those songs like
You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. I tell you, that
right?
Song,
words to live by.
I'm telling you, that song I always quote, and you know, people who are young, the teenagers, when I say I'm going to give you some advice for life, and I quote that Kenny Rogers song, they think it's original. They don't even know who the hell Kenny Rogers is. So when I say, honey, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, know when to walk away and know when to run. And by the time I'm finished, they're like, wow, you're so smart. I'm like, yes, I am.
Oh, I'm going to have to start using that.
It's so true, though. I mean, whoever wrote that, I don't know who wrote that song, but my God, that is something that will be applicable all the days of your life. And if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to be in some big trouble. But yeah, I loved Kenny Rogers. Yeah, I, as everybody knows, I've not I've always quoted myself as not being a country music fan. And my mother says, well, whether you realize it or not, you don't even know that you sing little snippets from songs that are classic country, like Silver Thread and Golden Needles. I don't know. My grandmother used to listen to country, so I guess I heard it somewhere and I find myself singing that. Of course, Kenny Rogers and a lot of songs that I didn't realize, but really great songs. I guess that's considered traditional country. I don't know any current country songs at all.
Yeah, you've probably heard that song. You know, I like my chicken fried, cold beer on a Friday night.
Oh yes, I think I have heard. Isn't that like a
pair of jeans
song?
That fit just right and the radio on? That's Zac Brown. That's current. That's great.
Wait a minute. I do know the Carrie Underwood song about when she takes the baseball bat, and I think Jesus takes the wheel. So I do know those. But I think those I know because they're a crossover, the crossover
totally.
Artists. Like, I want to ask you about that. Now, I want to ask your opinion on that. Now, there have been a lot of crossover artists from country to pop, but now we're seeing a lot of the reverse. So, people who are pop going country. So I want to know, in your opinion, other than the obvious, which is love of country music, are there any other reasons why these pop artists are switching over to country music? You know, like Sheryl Crow, Kelly Clarkson. What's the scoop, you think?
You know what? I would chalk it up to this. The world of music business is a lot different and a lot harder than the world of music pleasure. Mm-hmm. And no matter, I was told once a long time ago, when I look at other like big famous artists, never kid yourself that the amount of pressure that these folks have to be under to be that person all the time, 24/7 at that level, whether you like what they do or don't like what they do, they have such a demand on them. And all I can think of is that when these people like Sheryl Crow, they want to play music so much, when it comes time to, when they finally realize that, you know what, over there in this country world, and, John Bon Jovi, whoever else it's that makes those kind of pop to country moves, Dallas Smith, it's because it's a formidable, strong, it makes you feel secure kind of I'll say that twice, but it's got that I don't know, that kind of release after so much pressure and weight. I can see why some of these, like the rock and rollers, end up doing country, like Greg Allman, I think it's Greg Allman from the Allman Brothers, did like a recent kind of country sounding record, Hootie and the Blowfish. They've just got such a hard, and it's hard in country too, but it's more family oriented. So it doesn't, the struggle and the pressure of the amount of work involved doesn't hurt as much.
Mm.
Maybe that's, why it's a good environment. It's a happy, it's kind of like, why do you go to, why do Canadians go to Florida in the wintertime or to Los Angeles? Well, because it's cold and it feels really good to be in that warm weather. So most of those artists that are like, it's a cold business out here, let's just go over to the country world and warm up a little bit. Then they get in there and they're like, I'm surprised Madonna's not doing a country record yet. But.
You don't know yet. She's on her third chapter of her life, but I think she's got a fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh one. But I really admire artists like that who can constantly reinvent themselves, not only physically, but, through their music, like Cher and Madonna. And boy, there's some that's had some long careers. And it's very rare, I think, but there are a few that have been able to do it. And that I admire them so much. Now, I want to ask you, what experience, because I know you write your songs, or at least I'm under the impression that you write your songs or some of the songs. What experiences do you, Marshall Dane, what experiences influence the songs that you write?
I'd say it's kind of, you know, it's a bit of a spider sense, you know, instinct, kind of like a photographer that walks around always with that eye of composition, you know, always looking and thinking, huh, that's just a plain old door, but that door on this angle with this kind of sunlight hitting it right now looks really cool. That kind of thing. So when it comes to songs, at least for me, I find that I'm kind of always keeping my eyes or my eyes and my ears open for things that will inspire me or that I feel are maybe global, you know, maybe it's a global expression that I think makes sense across a wide variety of people. And or just, you know, then you hear a story about something that's very moving, you know, and you can, your mind is already open to take that in. And, you know, and then, of course, the obvious is when things happen to yourself, where you draw it from your completely personal experiences. You know, it's really just anything that can inspire you. I mean, there's so many things out there, and I'm not going to say that every human's the same, but we all have some very similar features that are, you know, as long as you are talking about something that is honest and sincere to yourself, the odds are there's going to be somebody else out there that gets it, and maybe that's part of the reason why I do it, so that I can feel like somebody else out there gets it too.
Yeah, that your words are reaching, touching someone, possibly helping someone with their agony, as in the love songs, which is my next question for you. Now, you got to admit, love songs written in a country style, let's just say, versus love songs written in a pop style. Now, most people can immediately distinguish the difference. So even if the song was just read to us instead of being sung, you're going to see a difference. What is your opinion on, or let's ask you how you do it. How does one approach writing a country love song versus a pop love song? They have the end message, but they're written so differently. How do you approach each style? I don't even know if you have ever written a pop love song, so maybe this question you can't answer, so maybe you can just answer the approach to the love song, but maybe you can answer that question.
Yeah, wow. You know, like, as you're asking me, I thought I had, you know, an answer in my mind, and then all of a sudden my answer kind of changed, because what I was going to say was that in country music, a love song is written almost like a letter to the person you're singing to.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Right? It sounds like, yeah. And whereas in a pop song, it could frequently sound more like random thoughts, not necessarily directly at somebody. You would just feel like more like it's just random ideas. But, you know, as soon as I say that, I can all of a sudden think of awesome pop love songs like Hey There Delilah or Say Something, that recent tune that's out. And those songs sound like somebody sat down and wrote a little letter. I guess the difference is a lot of times in pop music, you'll get part of the letter and then you'll get a repeating chorus so that you always remember it.
You know, yeah, where the hook.
The hook, and then they over kind of play it sometimes. You know, again, Hey There Delilah is a great example of one that never did or doesn't. You know, it's kind of, you know, it keeps telling the story throughout the song, whereas, you know, Say Something is a little bit more, here's part of the story. I'm not going to give you too much detail, but I'm going to keep repeating that. Say Something, I'm giving up on you, and that's going to be my hook. Whereas a country song, you can feel that guy or that girl walk into that room and you can see the hair wisping off of whoever's face that's lying on that bed as they sit there and walk in and sit there, you know, and start telling you the story about, lady, I'm your knight in shining armor and I love you, you know, like, or whatever it is. Yeah. And you all of a sudden feel like somebody's sitting right there whispering the lyrics to you. That's, to me, kind of the difference between a country song and, and a cool, you know, rock and ballad by Metallica.
Yeah, the country songs are more detailed. They give you more visualization. I mean, you can envision what's going on in the scene. It draws you in. It's like someone's telling a story in more detail. Even that one song, I can't remember what it was, but it was about that woman who, you'll know this song. The woman who killed her husband, Earl. Was it Earl? Oh, Lord. Oh, was this? We're talking like 2000, maybe 90s. He got on her nerves anyway. She buried him in the backyard or something. I can't remember. But anyway.
I have a vague recollection, but yeah.
Yeah, you know that one where he was just he was abusing her. He was physically abusing her and she ended up killing him. So, I mean, I was thinking, well, in what pop song have I heard? I don't think I've ever heard that, but it was done in the country song. It became a huge hit. All the women rallied behind it, and it just became just an instant hit. And the words were so graphic, and it was about a woman who killed her husband because he was abusing her. That was the message. But yet it was done so creatively, and it was just so musical. The lyrics were perfect. The instrumentation was perfect. And I thought, man, you can sing anything in country and get away with it. I killed him today. I'm having a cocktail tonight. And you could sing it in country. They'd be like, yes, yes. Love it. Love it. Oh, my God. Now, now it's going to bug me the rest of the night if I don't remember that darn song. I hope somebody texts you and tells you the name of that who's listening to us right now. Of course, afterward, I'm going to get emails. Everybody's going to say what the name of it is. In your opinion, what do you think is the secret to writing a great country song? You write songs, and of course, you think you're writing a great song. Everybody who writes thinks they're writing the greatest one. What do you think the secret is to writing a great country song? And I'm talking not only the words, but the lyrics, but the instrumentation as well. What do you say, okay, I'm going to do this, and it's going to be a great song?
That's so subjective.
It's not a secret.
No, you know what? I haven't written a hit song, a song that's a number one on the radio. So those people tend to have their, you know, if that's how you define a hit country song, then I'm sure there is some kind of there's some kind of, you know, key little piece that once you've written, I've been told that once you write a song that goes number one, you really realize, oh, that's what it is that makes it a hit song. Got it. And you can tell somebody over and over again what it is, but until they actually get that number one, then they don't quite get it. So if that's really the case, then obviously there is something locked up, you know, inside those songwriters that get those kind of cuts. But if you're asking me what I consider to be a great song, what I would try and say is the best song you can do. That's really the key, because I mean, pleasing the planet's one thing, but making sure you still have a good product and you can play it at your local bar or cafe is also just as important if you want to continue to play music.
Right.
Whether you're number one on the radio, you still want to make sure you still have a gig locally.
You're so right, because I don't know if you've heard some of these, I call them novel songs, like, you know, a novel that you read, because they go on and on, and they're they just sound like vanity projects, and they don't have a hook, and they just go on and on, and they don't, now I like my song to rhyme, called me old school, but I like it to rhyme, and these songs don't rhyme anymore that the new, you know, some of the new people are doing, and it's just not my cup of tea.
By the way, I think I just lost you again. I know you can hear me, but for some reason I can't hear you. But anyways, I'll keep talking while maybe you can get the producer to call me back on the other line. You're right. They sound like vanity songs. And
Ronan,
the problem is that, I shouldn't say the problem, but the trick is to try and have a balance at least of, you know, your you know, exceptional or your own unique writing style mixed with something that your audience wants to hear. And I guess the best advice I've been given is that you should be as honest as possible, be as sincere as possible, and as long as you try and implement that into your writing, then no matter what you write, there will be an equal comparable reaction Roman, from your audience. You so at least get the fact that you were being honest Roman. And you were being sincere and you tried to write the best song you could. And, you know, Roman, outside of that, then you talk.
You're going to have to call him again.
Say we got you back.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. It's so weird. We've never, in all the years I've been doing this show since 2008, this is the first time that we've had this trouble with this particular problem. So I apologize. I really apologize.
Hey, no worries, man. It's so strange, too. I'm glad we keep
Where
looking back up.
Where the hell are you? Are you out in the tundra? I know you're in Canada, right? What are you?
You
in
know
a,
what I think?
Are you in a snow bunker?
I am in a perfect position. I'm right on a clear day, on a clear lake. I'm not moving. I am not even pacing around like I normally do when I talk.
Wow.
I'm sitting in one spot, and for some reason, I mean, it's clear. I'm looking out the window. I'm sitting here with my face squished up against the window to try and make sure that we're...
Well, you
in
know,
our best
it's probably everyone else taking advantage of the clear day, too, and everybody's overloading the connection or something. You never
Maybe
know.
Maybe that could be it, yeah.
But you know what? It is 5:32, and I want to get that song playing. Talk about great songs. As everyone who writes songs and sings songs, they think that this is a great song that they're doing. And I hate to be biased, but I love this song. It is so cool. And you know who sings about? Again, back with the pop song, alcohol abuse. I don't know. It's Will You Love Me Tomorrow, but alcohol abuse. I love the title. It's poppy. It's zippy. It's frolicking in the wind. And it's real. It's talking about a real world. It's a reality. Talk about questioning a reality. This song, I think, really questions the reality. And I think it's a really good song for you. And I think this is really going to catch on. And I think you're going to have worldwide success. So real quick, so we can play it. Tell us what was your inspiration for writing it, and then we'll play it.
Well, have you ever heard that expression? I've never heard the expression alcohol abuse, and I hadn't heard, I mean, I only heard it in negative terms.
Oh.
As is the reality. And about 4 years ago, I was sitting in a bar. Oh, I was not sitting, I was cleaning up my band gear, and me and the boys were cleaning up and finishing up our show. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and one of the bouncers has 9 bottles in his hand instead of 8, something like that. And, of course, he ends up tripping one, and it hits the ground smashing. And one of the young waitresses yells out, "Hey, Mike, that's alcohol abuse." And, you know, you hear it. And I remember distinctly sitting there thinking, I've never heard that expression about somebody just spilling a beer. And, of course, then it became almost a fad that I heard the expression all the time in the clubs as you're playing. You know, so
it means what? Wasting alcohol, right?
Just wasting alcohol, just spilling alcohol, as opposed to, you know, it. I mean, a lot of people can interpret the title as you know, drunken debauchery, and that's not. I don't. You know, it's not what my MO is. I'm not trying to talk about that. It's more just, you know, I'm always doing something a little bit tongue in cheek and a little bit funny and. You know, trying to find a little twist on some of the antics that you see at the clubs. And alcohol abuse was the perfect example of, you know, something that could have been written as a very serious, you know, song, you know, with its own integrity. But we thought, why don't we make this this is a fast, upbeat, let's just approach this as a feel-good, you know, not make fun of, but just make light of. You know, some of these things in the bar that happen that make you end up not even getting your drink in your darn mouth. You just end up spilling it. And we just put out a video for the song. And it really helps to show our kind of take on, you know, on something like that. I mean, we try not to, when we got to take something seriously, we take it seriously. And when we have a chance to bring a little light and make it a little bit more lighthearted and loose, we take advantage of that. And of course, this song has all that in it. Plus, it's got a chorus to boot for. That Michelob band has a middle life, but wasn't you? Kiss a harpoon,
no star, blah, 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 blah. You sound like an auctioneer. How you're able to get all those in there is amazing. So
the video, you
finished the video. The video is available for viewing. Where is that, on your website?
Oh, yeah, MarshallDane.com, as well as if you're on YouTube, just YouTube.com/MarshallDane. If you go to the website, my website, we've got links to everything, and it's always on there. But, yeah, it's funny. It's really funny.
Now, is this a single from your album, One of These Days, or is this a single by itself, not on the album?
No, actually, this is a single off the current album, One of These Days, for sure.
Okay, and how many songs are on the your album that you just released?
Yeah, we just released it last year. It's 12 songs on this record.
Okay, and pretty much all of them are they half slow, half fast, slow, medium, fast? Just a mixture.
I'd say the majority of the record's upbeat, but it's got a good combination of kind of driving tunes that you can kind of get it, you know, that could get your heart pumping and you can really kind of get in deep and think about it, like One of These Days or Living It Up or Till I Get to You. But then there's also the upbeat, funny kind of just jamming and dancing, put it on while you're having a party, songs like Alcohol Abuse or Take You Home to Mama When Mama's Not Home, or Let's Go to Bed Early and Stay Up Late. That's one of the tracks on the album. That's a great one.
I like that.
And then, of course, there's a couple of, down, a little bit down-tempo songs that, you know, dig in a little deeper, like I'll Be Your Whiskey or How Do I Get There from Her? And, of course, our deepest song on the album, which is called Not Today. And that just explores some of the harsh, you know, the hard things that kind of sometimes can keep you down. But then, of course, as most of my tunes try and have a real silver lining to them, that same song in the chorus will tell you, hey, man, you got to start somewhere. You got to make it right this time. So,
now,
you know, it's always an upbeat, powerful message.
Now, you're about to, we're going to play a song in a minute, but I just want to get this in. You're going to be going on tour and doing some live shows. Where are you touring? Are you coming to L.A.? Where are you going to be, Marshall?
I sure as heck hope so. I love L.A. I don't know how much L.A. loves me, but I love L.A.
Woo!
We're planning on going to the U.S. for the first time, doing our first little radio station tour starting, I think, the second week of May. And we'll come down for 2 weeks. We'll end up in Nashville. We'll do a couple of performances around the CMA, the Country Music Awards down there. And then we will make our way back to Ontario and to Canada, and we'll do a bunch of Ontario summer festival dates out here. We might hit Alberta. That's in the works. And then at one point near September, I'll find myself in Greenland and Labrador.
In Greenland? Woo!
Right?
That's far. How the heck did you get that booking? Who's books for Greenland? Well, you got to hit New Zealand. That seems to be, they love our music over in New Zealand from what I hear.
You know what? It's not that far off the map. Yeah, we could get there.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was talking to a friend of mine the other night at a party, and he was saying that he was over in New Zealand, and they love country music. They're obsessed with country music. Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood. Oh, my gosh. They're just loving Carrie Underwood, and they like I'm not familiar with his name, this guy, but somebody, Paisley, apparently he's a big hit. what's his name? Lee Pace? Somebody Paisley.
Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley, thank you. He's a big hit, but they're loving country music. So whoever hooked you up in Greenland, they need to take a hop, skip, and a jump and get you over in New Zealand. It's just there. It's waiting for the year of the Dane.
I like what you think.
Well, we're going to play right now. We're going to play your hit song, Alcohol Abuse. And depending on how long it is, I want to come back and then we're going to close out the show with a couple more questions. So without further ado, let's play Alcohol Abuse by Marshall Dane.
Alcohol abuse, shameful waste of precious booze.
Well, the glass hit the chicken wire in front of my face. Jack Daniels was falling like a rain on the stage. Then a fight broke down and a bouncer broke a bottle. Over all that noise, I heard somebody holler, alcohol. Shameful waste of precious booze. Name your pain, whatever you choose. Oh, highball, Bloody Mary, fuzzy navel, cooking sherry, mudslide, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down the drain. Every drop we lose is alcohol. Trouble escalated as the cops showed up. They busted through the doors, pulled out their handcuffs. Said, boys, you need some help, a little rehabilitation. We're running you in for misappropriation. Alcohol abuse, shameful waste of precious booze. Name your pain, whatever you choose. Oh, Michelob, Anheuser, Miller Lite, Budweiser, Newcastle, Harpoon, Lone Star, Blue Moon, Dos Equis, Amstel, Samuel Adams, gone to hell. Every drop we lose is alcohol. Fuzzy navel, cooking sherry, mudslide, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down the drain. Every drop we lose is alcohol abuse. All right. Michelob, Anheuser, Miller Lite, Budweiser, Newcastle, Harpoon, Lone Star, Blue Moon, Dos Equis, Amstel, Samuel Adams, gone to hell, highball, Bloody Mary, fuzzy navel, cooking sherry, mudslide, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple, down the drain. With every drop we lose, it's alcohol abuse. Every drop we lose, every drop we lose, it's alcohol abuse.
Right on, right on. That's
oh my
fun over
God,
here.
Oh, God, that is so fun. Oh, my gosh. You don't even have to be a country music fanatic to love that song. Who in the hell doesn't like one of those cocktails in that song, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Oh, you must have had so much fun doing that song. Now, that's what I love. How many more of those upbeats do we have on the album? Because I'm going to go buy it.
Oh, there's at least... Sheesh, there's at least six of those 12 that are right up there.
Oh, my God. Now, where can we, besides your website, MarshallDane.com, where can we buy your album?
Well, apparently you can buy them at a gas station about 4 hours north of Toronto. But aside from that, whatever your medium is online, if you've got, if iTunes is your thing, I'm on iTunes. If you're on Amazon, we're on Amazon. Whichever your pleasure.
CD Baby. So just type CD in Baby, Marshall Dane. Marshall Dane, and the latest one is coming up. And we can see your video on YouTube, also on your website. Oh, my God. Correct. Well, we only have a couple more minutes, but I wanted to ask you for your advice for the fans, for the listeners, the people that are thinking of pursuing a career in the country music business. What are some things that they need to know if they decide to pursue a career in the country music business? The best piece of advice.
Know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Know when to walk away. Know when to run. You don't count your money while you're sitting at the table. Go ahead.
I ditched that one. I still count my money at the table.
Okay.
I count it quick.
Okay, I'll give you the last line. There'll be time enough for counting
when the dealing's done.
There you go. It's so true. Now, some people are going to have to work that out, but that's exactly what that's our message to you. Marshall Dane, Priscilla Leona, that's our message for you. Okay, well, I wanted to thank you so much for being on the show. I wanted to thank you also. I know that you are a huge, I think you're a person who's into charities. I believe you're a huge charity fundraiser, I believe, and you are participating in Stop a Bully fundraiser, breast cancer awareness, juvenile diabetes research, Children's Make-A-Wish Foundation, and ALS research. And personally, I just want to say thank you for being part of that and lending your name and, I guess, your time to those organizations.
Hey, I thank you for, you know, picking up on the fact that it's not all about us. It's about, you know, our brothers and sisters everywhere need just as much help as you and I have needed help getting through certain times in our life. So, I mean, to give back is only human and, you know, naturally human. And, you know, we all do what we can, it's all about doing what you can. I mean, your two tokens sometimes can be just as valuable as, you know, some people that can help move mountains. It all really adds up.
And a song by Marshall Dane can move a mountain, because this is the year of the Dane, is it not, Marshall Dane?
That is every year is the year of the Dane, baby.
And that's a star's name if I've ever heard one. I don't know if that's your real name or not, but that is a star name for sure. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your music. I love it. I'm actually going to ask permission to play one of these days next week on my show, if that's okay to close the show out. Would that be all right?
Oh, sure. You got my permission.
Okay.
My pleasure.
So everybody's going to have to tune in, or actually go buy his album right now, MarshallDane.com. Thank you. Say goodbye to your fans, Marshall Dane.
Hey, I'd like to once again say it's been really my pleasure to join you, and thank you so much for all your listeners and your friends. You know, I hope you enjoy our chit-chat, and I hope you enjoy the music, and I look forward to finding you out there online and hopefully one day performing for you.
Oh, my God. Well, if you ever come to L.A., I want to hook you up at one of these clubs. I know a guy who books people at the Paladino, which is a huge club out here. So might be able to get you a gig there. So look me up. You feel free to contact me directly. Friend me on Facebook, or you can find me, Priscilla Leona. Find me, and then I'll hook you up at one of these clubs here. I got some connections, honey. I got some connections. All right, sweetie.
Right on, right on.
Thank you, my darling. And check out MarshallDane.com, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality, and you'll get to hear his song one of these days. So you got to tune in. Well, actually, I'd go buy the album now, right now, Marshall Dane. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.